Nothing taken away. Now, the Bible also says to rightly divide this word, and a lot of ministers, we call them false prophets, brand jackasses, what they do, they take different texts that supports their theories, and then they begin to add to the text certain things that are not in the original. And therefore, you have to come back and give them a lesson in the original Hebrew and in the original Greek. You know, it's sad that you have to teach those that try to teach. And the Bible says to prove all things and have an answer ready for everyone that questions your doctrine. Remember, they were amazed at the doctrine of Christ. Christ identified the house of Judah as the serpent seed that had the serpent seed in the house. Now, we're not going to make any excuse for Judah. We're not going to say that he's the birthright tribe. He's not. And we certainly ain't going to say he's the scepter tribe because he's not. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's not one scripture in the Bible, and we've challenged, and you wonder why, that they don't just come right out and ask for the $5,000, but they don't. And it's because they can't read. They can suppose or they can pick their scriptures and then misrepresent the text. And then try to convince you that Christ was a Jew. Of course, that is beyond their control at this point because we have identified the King James Bible as our source. We don't use the New American Standard that adds words to the text and weakens down even the text that we can read in the King James. So what do? You go back to the original Hebrew, and some of the words that they apply are not there. Some that they imply are not there, and some of this is taken out of the 23rd chapter of the book of their imagination. But the Bible said these foolish prophets and their imaginations are vain. They are, again, like the foxes on the desert that are hunting for a place to bark. Well, the foolish shepherds and the people that are deceived by them are not wise because the Bible said they would deceive the very elect if it was possible. Yes, the house of Judah has convinced, and not rightly so, we couldn't say rightly so because the house of Judah has no claim to fame here. We're sorry. Close but no cigar, and all the scriptures that they give, they imply. Now, let me show you something here in the Bible. In the original Greek text, that's something they don't want to use. They want to use these alterations, these bastardized texts. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Judah did have offspring from Perez and Zerah. But now I've made this challenge, and I'll make it again. In the Bible, there's not one verse of Scripture that Judah ever married Tamar. Well, Christ recognized these that stood with him in the 8th chapter of the book of John. And we're not going to the book of Revelation that say some say they're Jews and are not the liars. These were actually Jews. I admit that they were Jews, but the problem was they were mixed Jews. Now, that's the story, the rest of the story. That's the story that these false prophets, these brand jackasses, won't bring you when they're trying to defend Judah as a birthright tribe or even the scepter tribe. What has the scepter got to do with the birthright? Wasn't the birthright for the exclusive promise that Christ, according to Genesis 49:10, and Genesis 49 and verse 24, that Christ, the Messiah, Shiloh, he would come from the house of Joseph, Ephraim.
Well, you can't read the book in the Bible in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelations that Ephraim is in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelations. Of course not.
because Ephraim assumed the role of the house of Joseph who had the birthright, and it was given to the adoption of the two sons. Therefore, you've got 13 tribes. You see, ladies and gentlemen, these ignorant prophets, the prophets of their own imagination, their claim to fame is based on somebody else's foundation, and they come with, they get some ammunition, somebody else has thought up in the 23rd chapter of their imagination, and the error of the scepter doctrine of Ephraim, and therefore the Ephraim heresy. Honey, the Ephraim heresy is no heresy. It's the word of Yahweh, and nothing can be added to it. He is the birthright son, and from him shall descend Shiloh, according to the scriptures. Of course, the Jews have magicianly, now, we get back to the serpent here, and oh, how I'd love to get into this tonight, but I want to stay on line with my text, and that is the serpent that got in the house of Israel. We're going to show you exactly how he maneuvered into the house. He's a snake, and he come from the house of Judah. Oh, my, I hate to say that because I know that I'm getting under somebody's skin, and all these Judite wannabes that wished, it's a figment of their imagination. Neither can they read that Christ came from the house of Judah. It's not so. It is a misunderstanding by the craftiness of the lying pen of the scribes. Oh, yes, there is some scribes in the Bible that lie.
Well, if they lied in one scripture, do you assume that they lied in all scriptures?
Well, of course not, ignorant. They lied. They tried to cover. You see, the problem with the devil, when he did lie about the truth, he had to lie several times to cover it up, and therefore he leaves himself susceptible to men that can search out a matter. Now, if you don't have any intelligence, any wisdom, any spiritual calling or understanding, and most of these that are braying right now don't have the least iota of what's going on in the Word of Yahweh, it was the house of Ephraim, Joseph. They're one and the same. They can't be separated, although they try to. And the birthright went to Joseph. Now, the birthright ain't worth anything to the house of Joseph if Christ the Messiah from the stone shepherd of the book of Daniel chapter 2, that stone that was hewed out of the mountain was a stone shepherd, and it's the same one that was spoken about in Genesis 49, verse 24. The stone shepherd would come from the house of Joseph. Of course, the scribes in Matthew chapter 2, it wasn't Matthew was quoting this scripture, it was the scribes doing the talking. Matthew was just referring and writing down what the scribe said. It wasn't the word of Matthew, as some assume that it was the prophet Matthew that was chosen by Christ to pin down his account. Now, remember, there's four that were given account in this, and we'll take into consideration all four. The Bible said, not in the mouth of one prophet, but in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, let's go back to Revelation 5 and verse 5 in the English. Behold, I, the Lion of the tribe of Judea, has overcome to loose the seals. Now, what did the Lion overcome? Well, if you read the Greek version, he had to overcome the Lamb. But if you read the Greek version, it was the Lamb that overcome the Lion, not the Lion that overcome the Lamb. And therefore, now we have it corrected. You know, they won't do it, but we will. We'll give you the original version of the Greek text where it says it was the Lamb that overcome the Lion. Why won't these blind, ignorant, braying, false prophets, as they now have proven out to be, and when we run on a false prophet that chops up or misuses the word, we know they're doing it deceitfully for their own gain or for their claim to fame. Well, you can't claim fame if you don't have a covenant contract. And the house of Judah never had one covenant contract that I can read in the Bible that would have the scepter or the birthright. Now, I'm looking for book, verse, and chapter in the 1189 chapters of the 66 books of the original King James. Now, you can pull some of these funny stuff and bring another book or another version in, and I don't buy that. I stay exclusively, strictly to the King James Bible, 1189 chapters. Now, if you want to use that text, then you and I can get it on. We can debate the scriptures, and we can rightly divide and give you a perceptive between light and darkness. You see, ladies and gentlemen, light and darkness has no fellowship, and I will not yield to the false barking or braying of the foxes on the desert here and concede that Judah had any covenant right to the birthright or the scepter. Indeed, they had none. Now, if they had none, why do we try to stretch the scriptures into some areas where the scriptures in the original text don't go to? Remember now, let me refresh your memory. Again, we're reading out of the Greek text of Revelations 5 and 5. Get you a Bible. Go studying. If you're wet behind the ears and you need to sit on mama's knee or you need to train at the feet of someone other than the one that you've trained at, if you haven't got the whole picture of what the Bible says. Now, who did the birthright belong to? Again, I challenge you to go to the 48th chapter of the book of Genesis and read where Jacob laid his hand on the son of Joseph, Ephraim the younger. And he swore unto him that he would have the birthright. Now, what does a birthright signify? That the house of Shiloh, the house of the birthright's son, would produce an offspring through Christ, as Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, the King of the house of Israel, who was from the house of Joseph Ephraim, and all the other tribes must bow. Oh, it hurts Judah's knees to bend. It hurt him in the Bible. He didn't want to bow. He didn't want to bend. And according to the book of Jasher, he even withstood the soldiers of Egypt before he would come and submit and bow before Joseph. But he did bow because Joseph went down and arrested him himself, and he forced him through his authority as the son of the birthright king, and he bowed to Joseph. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry if you have to bow to the doctrine that the Messiah will come from, to, for, and about the house of Joseph Ephraim. It's written, nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away, and for the centuries that we've been in darkness and blindness, I don't have to make an excuse for your ignorance. I'm not going to teach you and bring you up to speed if you don't know the scriptures. If you don't know the original Greek text and the original Hebrew, you don't need to get into this dogfight. And if you can't run with the big dogs, you need to get under the porch, because I'll assure you that you're getting out in dangerous territory and water that may be above your head. And the Bible said that if this stone from the stone shepherd house of Joseph falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. You don't need to be found opposing the true, unadulterated Word of God. And by doing so, making yourself ignorant to the fact of the penalty of those that add to or assume or take from. This is not an assumption on anybody's part, and I'm not preaching assumptions. I'm asking for one verse of Scripture where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Christ, Peter, James, Paul, or any of the apostolic fathers without other than Judah was a Jew or ever referenced to be a Jew. Christ was never called a Jew by himself. Others did, assuming that he was, but he wasn't. David was not a Jew, because you see, you can't get around Strong's number 673. And I challenge all of you people that are still up in the air about who this is, and it's coming right out of the book of Ruth, chapter 4. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. I've said this and I've said it again, and I'm going back to chapter 1. Who did Boaz redeem? Did he redeem the house of Judah? Of course not. He wasn't a Judite. Well, what house did he redeem, Pastor Buddy? Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, it's written in Ruth, chapter 1, verse 2, that the house he redeemed was the house of Mahlon, who was an Ephraimite. It plainly tells you he was. Strong's number 673. Now, of course, maybe Strong's made a mistake. Well, then we're going to have to rewrite all the words in the Strong's Bible, because that throws everything out of sequence, and he had it numbered from word one in the beginning to Alpha and Omega to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelations. From the beginning to the end, everything is numbered and identified, every word that was said. And we got millions of words that's involved here to have a change. See, not one jot or one tittle will fall from the covenant text of truth. Now, you want to get a new American standard. To me, that's a bunch of baloney. They've even took reference to the veil to the blood. Of course they want to take it out. You know why? Because they're trying to do away with the original text and weaken it down through generations to where that in the end that you won't know who said what. But thankfully, the King James Bible of the Textus Receptus, it is the version that is more closer accurate to the Masoretic text than any text that is written upon the planet. Therefore, we'll stay with the King James for your benefit that you can read and now use your Strong's number, 673, and see if it don't tell you that that number that is identified in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 2, is a descendant from the house of Joseph. Well, I'm sorry that I didn't write the Bible. I just believe what it says, but have to rightly divide it. And, of course, the Jews have muddled the water, and these Brian prophets out here that want to advocate that Judah was the birthright son, that's what they're saying, ladies and gentlemen. When they say that Christ was from the house of Judah, they're saying that Shiloh came not from the house of the stone shepherd Ephraim, but came from the infected bloodline of Judah. Ladies and gentlemen, is that true? Isn't it written that Judah polluted his bloodline in Genesis 38, and Christ encountered these corrupted bloodline in the 44th verse of John chapter 8? Of course. Your father is the devil. Now, don't you know, technically speaking, that he was referring to Judah? Well, I beg your humble pardon, ladies and gentlemen. He was referring to the mother of the offspring of these Canaanite Jews, who was Shua, the Canaanite woman that Judah married. Did Judah make an error? Did he have a Canaanite offspring? Was these Canaanites multiplying? Did they go down into the land of Egypt? Can I read it? Of course I can. They're not going to tell you, but I will. That the house of Judah was polluted and corrupted, and they ran the Sanhedrin court because they loved the chief seats. Of course, the chief shepherd will come from the bloodline of Judah, but they were Canaanites. And if you'll read the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 2, verse 55, you'll read that the house of the Shelites were the scribes. No wonder Christ said, "Beware of the scribes." You may not be, but I am. I have to examine what the scribe says. Was it the prophet Matthew that said they was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea? Well, if you'd have blamed it on Matthew, then Matthew would have been a liar. Because the prophet didn't say he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. Who was going to blame it on? It was the scribes, and not Matthew. Matthew was just pinning down what the scribes say, so everybody comes back and says, "Well, Matthew said that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, and you come along, Pastor Buddy, with the Judah Ephraim hearsay." Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is not hearsay. This is the word of Yahweh, rightly divided, and you're hearing it on the Shepherd's Call radio ministry, and exclusively when somebody comes against it, we know who you're talking about. Why don't you just get real and get down to the issues and name the false prophet that you think that I am? I've been called worse by better people that know more Bible. Therefore, I'm highly insulted that you don't know the scriptures enough to really have claim to fame to call me a false prophet. Because if I am a false prophet, you'll have to use the word to prove it. And the Bible said by proving all things, we can rightly divide the word of truth. In the book of John 7:40, again, there was a raging controversy about where Christ was from. Was he born in Galilee? Or was he born in Judea? Were the scribes correct that Christ was going to come out of the house of Bethlehem, Judea? Or was the prophet Micah right when he said he was coming out of Bethlehem, Ephratah? Did you know when Bethlehem, Ephratah was on the map, there wasn't even a Bethlehem, Judea? Do we have to do your geography for you and your history? Do we have to bring you up to speed in the Hebrew and the Greek text? Do we have to correct you when you use these bastardized editions, which we find fault and a lot of fault? If you want me to read you the New American Standard Version and you tell me that you use it just for the benefit of proving somebody wrong, when you actually proving yourself wrong by using the version to try to prove somebody wrong. You're found in error yourself. And if you are a breaker of all, you are a castaway if you don't fail to keep all of it yourself. Are you keeping the whole law? Of course not. Yahweh gave you the law. None of you kept it, including these false prophets that claim to be perfect. They're not. And how do you know it? Because the word says so. Now, let's get real with the program. Now, who was that other disciple? Well, again, we're going to Matthew 10 and 4, and we're going into the text, and we're going to read in the text that it says that Judah, oh my, I just might as well use the correct name. I'm not going to use the Greek here. I'm going to use the correct version. Judah was the son of a Canaanite named Simon. I'm sorry, but that's what the Bible says. Judah was the son offspring of a Canaanite. Now, this Canaanite was a devil. Did you know that Judah was a devil from the very beginning? And the Hellenization of the word in the Greek is Judas, so that we won't confuse you with his daddy back thousands of years before Judas, the Canaanite devil, was born. Was Judas of the bloodline of Judah? Yes, he was. Was he the correct bloodline? No, he was not. He was from the Canaanite slums of South Jerusalem, where Herod the Tetrarch, the Canaanite Jew, was, that tried to kill Christ. And would they kill their own king? Would Judah go down, would Herod go down and kill the sons of Judah? Did he not go up into Galilee? Was it not Rachel, the mother of Joseph? Wasn't he after the birthright son of Joseph? Was he after the birthright son of Judah? No, he wasn't. Why? Because Judah didn't have no birthright promises. The devil's smarter than that, folks. You see, the devil is a lot smarter than the people he's got deceived. Otherwise, he wouldn't be the devil. The devil is a deceiver, and the ones he's got deceived, the devil is twice as smart as the ones he deceived. And the Bible said, be not deceived, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Now, if you want to study the scriptures, show yourself approved workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't bring in confusion. If you bring in confusion, you're the author of it, and where the author of confusion is, there's ever evil work. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this Ephraim-Judah controversy, it is indeed stirred up a hornet's nest across the earth. And that's why the Father was saving the prophets of Joseph to come on the scene in the last days when he said, thou shalt come out of the house of Jacob someone that would turn Jacob from his ungodliness. Now, what's going to turn Jacob from believing that the Jews are God's chosen people? When in reality, they're not. Offer a $5,000 reward to prove one scripture where the Jews are God's chosen people. The birthright never was in Judah, never will be, for that matter, because the covenant's done sealed and God can't lie. You can't add nothing to it and you can't take nothing away from it. But the Canaanite Jews, they added and they made people believe that the birthright son of Shiloh would come out of the house of Bethlehem, Judea, therefore making him a Judite. Even if he'd been born in Bethlehem, Judea, which he wasn't. He was born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, which is in the land of Bethel, geographically speaking, 36 miles north of where Bethlehem, Judea is at this present day and 2,000 years ago. Well, ladies and gentlemen, 4,000 years ago, Bethlehem, Judea did not exist when Bethlehem, Genesis 35:19, was on the map. Somebody put it on there. Oh, yes, they wanted a Bethlehem. Most of the towns that were named Bethlehem, and they were three that I can read of, one of them is Bethlehem Ephratah, the oldest town, Genesis 35:19. And the Bethlehem in Zebulun, that's North Galilee, and the Bethlehem that came out after the days of Joshua appointed. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Joshua appointed the land to the house of Judah. It was a Canaanite stronghold, and they renamed it Bethlehem, Judea. Wasn't even on the map. Can you prove this historically, Pastor Buddy? Of course. You can also prove it in the scriptures, and the Bible says prove all things. I'm not using history or a map or geography, which I can. It's a supplemental aid to the debate here. But I'm challenging again, $5,000 reward for one scripture where Christ said he was a Jew. And one scripture where the prophet said he was a Jew. He wasn't. He was an Ephraimite from the house of Joseph in order to inherit in the birthright tribe covenant. He had to come from the house of Joseph. And indeed he was. And Joseph is a son that you can read about that all the other tribes would bow to him. I'm sorry, but that's too far and about the house of Joseph. And the covenant was given to him exclusively, and the birthright and the scepter were synonymous. It went with it. Now they tried to divide the scepter and keep it in the house of Judah. But the Bible says that that scepter will depart from Judah when the Messiah comes. Well, you say, well, he ain't come yet, Pastor Buddy. Well, then it's left you in bad shape because you're still in your sins. You say, well, I can keep the law. Well, you better get back to burning up an offering and offering a blood of a goat or a bull for your sins because you ain't covered. If Christ didn't come 2,000 years ago, then you're yet in your sins. And if you're in your sins, you ain't going to make it to heaven, irregardless of who the birthright belonged to. Now, if the birthright belonged to the house of Joseph Ephraim, and I can prove it did in more scriptures than one, that the covenant was forever settled and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away, and you can rest assured in this one thing, that everything that names the name of Yahweh depart from iniquity. If you're laying claim to fame just for the sake of trying to wrestle with the scriptures, then you will be as they that wrestle with the scriptures of Paul to their own death and destruction, not rightly dividing the word. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got an amazing, complicated controversy here. And if you're not qualified to study, remember now, I've studied the scriptures for 50 years, and the last 20 years has been entirely to this doctrine of the house of Ephraim Joseph. Now, if you know the word, then the word will make you free. A lot of people know the word to get set free, and there's a difference. A lot of people are set free to believe that Christ was a Jew. Well, here comes Pastor Buddy along to burst that bubble with a $5,000 reward for anybody that can prove he was a Jew, and nobody has come forth. Oh, yes, we had someone try, and they sent a little obscure scripture in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 19 that David was kin to the house of Judah. Of course he was kin to the house of Judah. But let me refer you to some biblical understanding of who the birthright went to. If David was kin to the house of Judah and Christ wasn't a Judite, the argument is moot anyway. And if you go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12, you'll find that David was not kin to the house of Judah in birthright covenant. Jesse, the father of David, was an Ephraimite. Now, that would make David an Ephraimite. And, of course, David was kin to Judah. They were brothers, but they had two different mothers. Therein is the mystery, and they won't bother to tell you that, but I will. And then when we get into the debate system, then we have to prove all things. Now, the challenge, again, $5,000. Well, some of these boys that's kicking on this don't need the money. Well, I do. Now, if they'll offer $5,000 where they can read that he was a Jew, then we'll give them $5,000. If they can't produce one scripture, then would they give me five? It ought to be an even playing field here, so we'll level a playing field, and we'll issue the challenge. If they can't read the scripture where Christ said he was a Jew, and where David said he was a Jew, where Abraham said he was a Jew, where Mary said she was a Jew, if they can't read these scriptures where Peter said he was a Jew, where Paul said he was a Jew, if you can't read that, as most 99% of you Christians believe that they were. Well, you see, I'm like the salmon swimming up the stream that's got a lot of damning doctrines of hearsay and tradition. So to swim into your channel, to set you free, I must fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on eternal life and save myself, and then I can save those that hear me. Why would I struggle in the effort to bring forth truth to lose myself and lose them that hear me when your blood will be upon my hand if I tell you anything that is not worthy and proven by the Scriptures. On the other hand, that's the leveling of the playing field. If they fail to declare the whole counsel, then they're guilty of all of those things that will come up on those that add to and take from the Scriptures. Did you know in the Greek text of the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, where it says, Father, forgive them, for they know not? To show yourself approved, that you might save yourself, let alone those that hear you. And that's my effort, is that I'm not out to deceive you or tell you fairy tales or give you tradition. Oh, yes, 99% of the Christian church, and they have the advantage over me. I'm just the lone prophet here. I'm bringing Scripture that hadn't been brought for over 2,000 years. Christ had the controversy invoked in John chapter 7, verses 40 through 52, that he was from the house of Galilee, not the house of Judah south. And the houses was represented by the house of Joseph and the house of Judah. Now to you, who would you bet on? Would you bet on the lion to whip the lamb? Of course you would. Well, that's what 99% of you Christians have done. They're betting their life that Christ was a Jew, and they're paying their allegiance to the bloodline of Joseph that Christ came from it. Well, here comes a little old country preacher boy along with an eighth grade education that's saying it's not so. By years of studying in the Hebrew and the Greek, I have found out that somebody deliberately has set us into thinking a lie and believing a lie to be damned. And the Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned, and you can use the Scriptures to deceive people with it. The Bible says you can. And if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you'll be caught up in the deception and the tradition and the seem right way. Man, we just made it through the pagan Christmas days of Christmas. 99% of the people that came think that Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Caesar Augustus. And when Herod the old Tetrarch, when he asked where he was going to be born, he got the covenant promise of the scribes, not Matthew, that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. But even Herod didn't believe that lie. He went up north and killed all the children. He didn't go down to Bethlehem, Judea to kill anybody. Isn't it amazing that the prophet knew where he would be born and the prophet said where he would be born, but that they would remove all the references to Bethlehem Ephratah and try to obscure it? Who did that? The Canaanite Jews, who are liars. And according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 4, you see, I wanted to get on that other disciple. You see, there's another disciple here that deceived. You see, Judas went out and hanged himself, and we're going to get in that next message, because I have to spend so much time correcting this falsehood, these false assumptions, and these braying prophets like the foxes on the desert that are preaching for fame or gain, will perish in the gainsaying of Korah and worship the creature and make themselves twice more the child of hell than they were to begin with. Because when you start kicking on the truth of the word, you're running into a rock. And when that rock hits you, you'll find it's the rock of Ephraim Joseph. And when it falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. You don't want that to happen. So warnings after warning for those who have went into error of Balaam for gain or fame to turn from their wicked ways and repent and come back and confess that Christ was an Ephraimite from the tribe of Joseph with the birthright covenant and him alone to make his position as the king, to set over the house of Israel, and all the sons would bow. Ladies and gentlemen, if Christ was from a tribe of Judah, even the bloodline of Christ would have to bow to Joseph. Because when Joseph had his dream in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, all the other brethren bowed to the throne of Joseph. You'll bow too in that day when he reveals to you who he was, and you're going to believe a lie that Christ was a Jew when he wasn't. You're going to be found wanting, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? We'll say, Lord, I didn't use Lord, I use Yahweh. Doesn't matter what name you use, if you use it incorrectly and not correctly, then you're going to come up short. And in that Bible, the Bible says in that day, even that which you have will be taken from you and given to those that rightly rule. Of course, in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelations, Ephraim is not mentioned. But anybody with a right mind and knows Scripture, to use that against the house of Ephraim is foolish and ignorant and unwise. Because the house of Joseph was given to the house of Ephraim for birthright privileges. Yes, he's in there. He's the house of Joseph, the one they found nothing against. All the other tribes had something against them. The house of Joseph had nothing against them. You can talk about the drunkards of Ephraim, but I'd rather be a drunkard that will acknowledge the word than to be stone sober and deny it. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a controversy going here, and it ain't going to end anytime soon. But I'll tell you when it will end, when the king comes from heaven with a shout of an archangel as the Lamb of Joseph, not from the tribe of Judah. It was the Lamb that overcome the lion in Revelation chapter 5 and 5. It was Christ from the seed of David from Ephraim that was the root of David. Now, you tell me that the root of David produced Judah, who married a Canaanite, and tell me that that Canaanite blood is what David's from? No, we're not going there. Because if you use the book of Ruth to prove your justification, you make yourself an error. Because the justification of the kinsman redeemer was from the house of Joseph Ephraim. Again, Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. And chapter 4, Boaz and Elimelech were kin, and Boaz redeemed the house of Joseph Ephraim, not the house of Judah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the truth will stand when the world's on fire, and I'm going to assure you that the truth is the truth. Now, let me give you some understanding in the Bible as we go here in pursuit of that other deceiver in the Bible. Now, if you look closely at Matthew chapter 10, verse 4, again, you will see that Judas was a son offspring of Simon the Canaanite. Now, the word Judas, again, is from the Hellenization, and it means from the house of Judah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is true to form that the Canaanite bloodline, according to Genesis 46, verse 12, that Judah produced a Canaanite son. This son is the one that laid claim to fame. Shelah was the oldest son of Judah. Therefore, he would have the birthright. Now, tell me where he was excluded from birthright privileges. Everybody wants to refer to the bloodline of Judah and Tamar. Actually, the fourth and fifth son of the offspring of Judah. You see, Judah had three sons from the Canaanite. Yahweh killed two of them, and Judah hid the other Canaanite bloodline. You see, that's how that Christ could say in John 8:37, Christ could say, I know you're Abraham's children, but you seek to kill me. How then could they be Abraham's children? They were from the bloodline of Judah. Did Judah pollute his bloodline with a Canaanite? Yes, he did. Was it against the laws of God? Yes, it was. Can a Canaanite bloodline inherit in Israel? No, it can't. Anything that's adulterated is excluded from the covenant principles of Yahweh. Do I have to teach on this repeatedly to get this message across? And I hope and pray and trust for those that's listening can understand that this is a deep, mystifying doctrine that you must study to show yourself approved to rightly divide this truth. Now, I've offered repeatedly to send you information. And some ask for the information just to use it against me, and I don't mind giving it to you because I know you have gain. I actually know you have the advantage by believing that Christ was a Jew. You have the advantage because 99% of your Christians, they're going to agree with you rather than me. So I only at least meet 1% of the people. Well, we're the few, not the many. It's the many that are going down the Broadway to hell and destruction. And if you believe that Christ was a Jew, you're going with them. Now, again, the Bible said, rightly divide the word of truth. Christ nowhere says he was a Jew. What is a Jew? Somebody from the house of Judah. plain and simple.
He said, well, I know over in the book of Revelations, again,
you quote over there, but you leave out the 8th chapter of the book of John and give an explanation of how the serpent, the Canaanite race blood, the devil himself, got into the house of Judah. He got in through a weakness of Judah. You'll never read where he got into the house of Joseph, but you will read where he got into the house of Judah. Now, did Christ come through a polluted bloodline? Of course not. We say, well, he came through the bloodline of Tamar, and she was an Israelite, and then, therefore, Judah was the son of Jacob, which he was, and that rectified the bloodline, and therefore, Perez had the birthright. Perez didn't have it. I'm sorry. He didn't go to Perez. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's something in the law that gives you inheritance factors, and there is condition that you have to meet. Judah nor Tamar, either one, didn't measure up to these conditions. These are things that needs to be discussed openly, and we need to debate the issue that you can get a view of the elephant, and you can only get a view of them by viewing the 360 degrees, and we're bringing out that 1% of revelation that the other preachers won't bring out, that Christ was not a Jew, offering money to prove it. Nobody collected. Nobody can get it. They scramble around for little obscure scriptures, and they just like a chicken in the barnyard trying to scratch up a worm, and they can't find a worm. Well, the Bible says their worm will die not, but it'll wiggle in the fire. When you bring the heat of the word, they start wiggling, and they start trying to find scripture to justify their doctrine. By doing so, they make Yahweh a liar, and you wouldn't want to be found fighting against Yahweh. But if you are, then you'll have to bear the consequences, because this is a serious matter. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You may be holy, you may look holy, but your bloodline may be polluted. That don't make you can't get holy enough to go to heaven if you got a polluted bloodline. And that includes Judah and the offspring he produced that later became the Canaanites and the Sanhedrin and ruled in the assembly as the chief rulers and the elders. That's why that they hated Christ. That's why they killed him, because they said, here is the inheritor. Would they kill their own? No. They killed him because he was a Ephraimite with the right of the authority of the scriptures to claim the birthright. Nobody from Judah can claim the birthright because they don't have it. Therefore, then Christ could not descend from Judah because he couldn't legally under the law system, and Yahweh's perfect, he doesn't fail. He wouldn't write a law and break it himself. He'd become guilty of sin, and Satan could have accused him of sin and kept him out of heaven because he came down and he was perfect. Nobody found him to be a sinner, and neither did he break the law at any point. He kept it in all points. And yet he was tempted in all points, and Satan might tempt you to believe that Christ was a Jew. If you fell for it, you're 99% of the many that go on the Broadway to hell and destruction, and if you're 1% of the few that don't believe that, Yahweh be glorified. Hey, you've come to the knowledge of the truth in the last days, and you can confess your sin, repent of those ignorant things that you used to believe, put them behind you, humble down, and confess that you are in error, and Yahweh, who is able to raise you up again, can restore you from whence you have fallen. And that's what the Bible says. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we know that the Bible says a man shall give an account for every idle word that he speaks. If you believe that Christ came through the bloodline of Judah, that's an idle word. You can't even prove that Christ was a Jew, let alone that he came from the bloodline. Now, if he come from the bloodline, he had a polluted bloodline, Judah did. Joseph didn't have a polluted bloodline because you can't read where he did. Now, the covenant went to Joseph. Now, the birthright and the scepter belonged to each other. But when Judah and the other brothers were jealous of Joseph, exiled him away from the house, then Judah prevailed. And that's the word that they use. Now, by prevailing, he took the stick, and he ruled over the house of Israel. And we can read you where that the house of Israel and the house of Judah fought repeatedly, and then Yahweh cast both of the houses out of his sight. Well, was that intentional, or was it designed? It was prophesied that Yahweh would scatter the sheep, and that's exactly what they done. Now, the sheep, when he came 2,000 years ago, he said, go not into the ways of the Gentiles, proving that the sheep are not Gentiles, as these false braying jackasses across the country keep preaching, and we keep reiterating to correct them, and the error of the prophets, the blind shepherds that are blind, and yes, they're Israelites, It is the Israelites that are blind and oblivious to this fact that Christ was from the house of Joseph. And by the challenge that we issue here, nobody taking us up, isn't there some prophet out there and some great preacher that has believed this and you're still preaching in your pulpit? Why don't you come forth and give us the scripture where it says Christ was a Jew? And quit henny picking back there and scratching like a chicken in a barnyard trying to dig up a worm because you're wiggling on the fire that Pastor Buddy has lit under yet, and it's put you in the Bible for, probably for the first time in years to make you look and examine the scriptures and prove all things, which is good for you and a benefit, and you might save yourself from this untoward generation, and then you might save others that hear you. How many's going to hear you? 99% will reject you. 1% may be convinced that you've got some truth. And so then you don't have any claim to fame. Quite the contrary, you'll be hated. You'll be cast out. Did you know that the Bible don't say that many will come in my name? Did you know that that's an error in the scriptures, in the text? That if you read the original Greek, it said many shall come against my name and deceive many. They will come against the name of Yahweh and deceive all those with a false name, and you know what that is. 99% of the Christians believe that the name of our Savior was Jesus, and that's an error. Now, can I help that 99% believe a lie? No, I can't. Can I save 1% of them? Possibly. If they will hear the word and repent and get out of that name and get into the name that's got the salvation. Now, there's even a few among us, and I'm going to prove next Sunday night that other disciple. I'm going to tell you, once I get off this controversy here about who Christ was and this idol talk of the Judah Ephraim heresy. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to come with another man's foundation. This is not an original idea that this brand jackass has got. He got it from someone else. Now, if you have to borrow from someone else to use your text and take your text out of somebody's foundation, you're building on another man's foundation. And if that man's foundation failed 10 years ago, yours is liable to fall also. Because if you build on the sand, or if you build after a false doctrine, the Bible said it'll prove all things, and someone will come along and they'll blow upon your foundation. And if you're not built on the stone shepherd kingdom of the house of Ephraim, you will fall. And so be it. Praise Yahweh, and that's the way it should be. Now, let me give you my mailing address, and tonight I want to give you my email. You can email Pastor Buddy at Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, lowercase now, all this is lowercase, email Pastor Buddy, Buddy1, at CenturyTel, CenturyTel.net. That's Buddy1 at CenturyTel.net. Now let me give you my mailing address. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. My telephone number, if you'd like to call me, I'm waiting on your telephone call. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you would like to call me, or if you'd like to write me, or if you would like to email, three avenues of approach to receive information. Now, write me. Don't call me up and say, well, send me some information. Don't be a cheapskate. Help us out. These packages that we send out are valued just at my cost for $10 or $12. We send you a color photograph of the area of Bethel, Ephratah, where the name of Yahweh, the Hashem, and the name of Ephraim, and the name of Lutz, which is Bethel, Ephratah, it is emblazed geographically into the mountains. Now, we'll send you that little map, and the Bible says, prove all things. This is the Aramaic Hebrew that Christ spoke 2,000 years ago, and written at the foundation of the world into the mountains with the finger of the Almighty Yahweh, while this was just a little mud pie, Yahweh reached down with his mighty hand, and by his own finger, as he wrote in the 10 tables of stone, are the Ten Commandments on the table of stone, and this is, again, the reference to the rock, the stone shepherd of the house of Joseph Ephraim. He penned the name of Yahweh, and by it he put the name of Ephraim. wrote it in the natural configuration of the mountains, right for this, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible said prove all things, and Yahweh is in many ways giving us clues. You see, the wise will understand, but the foolish never will. They'll support a false doctrine just because it's popular. I always like to go the other way. I don't run with a pack. I'm out here as the Lone Ranger. But I've got the badge to arrest all those who are in violation of the code and the Torah, and will do so because I use the sword to bring blood, and I fail not because I have no sympathy even for my own self, let alone anyone else. And so then, the word of Yahweh will either set you free, or it'll cut you in a portion with the hypocrites, where they will divide asunder, and you will receive the payment of Balaam as you run forth for greedy lucre or for praise and honor of man to preach a false doctrine. Dr. Garrett, faithful shepherd here. This is a faithful shepherd. Dr. Garrett, 1-877-289-7439. Many of you asked lately about Dr. Garrett's number. Here it is. Dr. Garrett, toll free, 1-877-289-7439. Miracle 2 products, along with toothpaste, and all kinds of health items, coconut oil, all this is available, and we need your help to sponsor the Shepherd's Call. So support us here. Dr. Jack, another fine man. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Call either of those numbers and say, I want to support Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. I want to pledge support to the ministry that he's teaching. I believe he's a man of God. I believe that he's got the true intents of the heart. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if I didn't, I could just join up and be in the 99% crowd. If you want to be there, go on, because you're in the broad way. But if you want to be with one cent, don't run with the herd. If you want to be the square peg, it don't fit into the round hole of tradition and denominationalism of churchianity that believe that Christ was a Jew. If you don't want to get it caught up in that garbage, then get in the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, my time is coming on. This is, again, let me give you my number, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Write me or call me, and we'll see you next Sunday night with part 3 of that other disciple. I'm going to tell you who he is in the next episode. Yahweh bless you.